Chapter 6. This chapter is a marvelous, marvelous chapter. We've already been in it for a while, and I think you see why. It's amazing. Came to this verse 37, and I thought it deserves a message by itself. Every verse does. But this is such a powerful verse. This is the gospel in one verse. All the truth of God is found in this one verse. What a verse. Read it. Verse 37. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." What a verse. Now, this the purpose of this is to, the glory of God, the glory of Christ, but we need to ask ourselves and examine ourselves, Paul said, whether we be of the faith. Examine ourselves, ask ourselves, am I one of God's chosen? Has God called me? Have I come to Christ? Have I? Or will I fall away? If you have come to Christ, as our Lord said here, you will not fall away. You cannot. You will not perish. He has given you eternal life, and you cannot go away. You will not perish. You cannot. So it behooves us, doesn't it, to ask this question? I don't care how old you are, how long you've been hearing the gospel. You need to ask yourself that. Have I come to Christ? Am I coming to Christ? Peter said, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a thing in the past. It's a continual thing. To whom coming? Have we come here this morning? Where have we come this morning? Why are we here? So this is a good question. Now many came. In verse 36, the Lord said unto a multitude, perhaps thousands, he said in verse 36, I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Many, many, many multitudes came to Jesus, didn't they? They came to see his miracles. They came to receive his blessings. And he is the great blesser. He blesses all. His tender mercies, Scripture says, are over all his work. But many came to see some things. Many came to receive from him some blessings, but didn't really come to him. They didn't come to him. In verse 66, it says many of his disciples, or they seemed to be. They looked like it. They sounded like it. They seemed interested. They seemed like they believed what Jesus said, but it says they went back and walked no more with him. So, they didn't come to Christ, did they? They didn't have life because they left. They went away. They perished. Our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and they stay. They stay there. They stay took with him, abiding in him. And our Lord said to his 12 disciples, verse 67, he turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Is this your answer when asked, will you also go away? Will you go away? To whom? Where would I go? To whom would I go? Thou hast the words of life. You're my life. I hang on your every word. Your word is life to me. Your gospel is life to me. Is that what you say? And he said in verse 69, they said it. Peter said it on our behalf and there. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Christ of Scripture, the true Christ. That Christ, that Messiah, that covenant head, that daysman, that advocate, that kinsman redeemer. That Christ, the one I need, the Son of the living God. We believe and are sure. Now, what did the Lord say? Why he said this? What did the Lord say? Why they would not go away? They would not leave. The reason being what? Verse 7, our Lord answered and said, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." They chose Judas to deny him, to betray him, didn't they? That's what he said then. Chosen. "Have not I chosen you? Are you not mine elect? Is that not the reason why you came?" Isn't it? There is no other reason. It's not in you. You didn't come of your own will. So, "Have not I chosen you?" Those that are chosen come. And they stay. And they will not and they cannot go away. Why? Peter wrote it in his first epistle. In the first epistle to all the churches, he said to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, "Elect." And then he went on in verse 5. Peter said, "You're kept by the power of God." He chose you, and you came to him, and he keeps you from falling. And you will not perish. That's good. That's good news, isn't it? You will not. Kept by the power of God, kept by the mercy of God, kept by the Spirit of God. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. He will not remain, but will leave. Preacher, are you saying once in grace, always in grace? Well, let me reword that, okay, properly. Once in Christ, always in Christ. Like those people in the ark. We're going to look at that in the next hour. Those eight people in the ark, the Lord shut them in. And they were so glad. So glad. The Lord brought them in, drew them in, and he shut them in and pitched that door where they couldn't get out if they wanted to. They didn't want to. They were glad to be there. And though all the disciples forsook him, when he went to the cross, they forsook him. They must, according to the Scriptures, mustn't. "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered," Scripture said. They had to, didn't they? He had to go to the cross alone. Like Abraham told those men, you know, "I and the son shall go up there alone." And they left. Well, the disciples all forsook him, but he never forsook them. They all denied him. Peter denied him, didn't he? Simon Peter denied him. But here's Peter's salvation. The Lord never denied Peter, did he? He cannot. You love this verse, don't you, John? He cannot deny himself. If you're his bride, if you're his wife, if you're his beloved, you two are one. And he will not, he cannot deny you. You're one. Isn't that good news? This is a great verse. Oh, my. All right, let's look at this. This is a gospel in a verse. Let's look at the fact of it. We'll look at the make, the wonder of it, the glory of it, and the comfort of it. Comfort of it. The fact of it. You'll find all the truth right here. It's implied right here. The truth, the doctrine of it. You'll find TULIP right here. TULIP. For ease of remembrance, total depravity, unconditional election, limited or particular redemption or atonement, irresistible grace, and the perseverance of the saints. So what are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's look at it. Okay? Depravity. Look at verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." What is that saying? If the Father doesn't choose you, if the Father doesn't elect you, if the Father doesn't give you to Christ, you won't come to Christ. Right? Why? Because we're totally depraved by nature. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Look at John 5. Our Lord said this earlier in John chapter 5. Here's the fact of it, the truth of it, the doctrine of it. Verse 39, he said to a bunch of religious people, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, religious, devout people, seemingly holy, searching the scriptures and reading the Bibles and attending services on the Sabbath. And he said in verse 39, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. So many think that, you know, because of their devotion to God and their morality and their attendance in religious matters, that they have eternal life. But he says, no, they are they which testify of me. And he says, and you will not come to me. Well, preacher, they were there. That's right. They were right there, and they came asking him many questions. They came seeking many things, but they weren't seeking him as a sinner in need of a Savior, as an unrighteous, guilty sinner in need of a Lord, their righteous. They didn't come to him for that. They came for a handout. They came for him to, you know, commend them for what they were doing. Like that rich young ruler came and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. One. You know the law. And he told him the law. And he said, all these things have I done from my youth up. Oh, boy. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not. Men will not come to Christ. My pastor preached a message 40 years ago entitled, Why Men Will Not Come to Christ. And it's perhaps been listened to by more than any other message that he's ever preached on sermon audio. Why men will not come to Christ. Why? They don't need a Christ. They have a righteousness, thank you. They're not that sinful. They're already fixed up. They're already this. They're already that. I got to go on. Men will not come unto Christ. Chapter 6, verse 44. Look at this. So, man is depraved. He will not come to Christ. And verse 44 says, no man can come to me. Isn't that what he said? That's very plain, isn't it? No man can come to me except unless the Father, which hath sent me, draw him. And whoever he does give to me, whoever the Father gives to me, draws, the Holy Spirit draws, and they come to me, I will raise him up at the last day. Very plain, isn't it? No man will by nature, no man can by nature. They're depraved. That's depravity. Cannot and will not. They're unwilling and unable. Then why do they come? Thy people, Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people, thy chosen people, shall be willing in the day of thy power. It's not of him that willeth, Romans 9, 16. Not of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. It is God that, Philippians 2, 13. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, this is to the praise of the glory of his sovereign, electing, drawing, keeping grace. It's by grace you're saved. It's by the will of God, by the power of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, by the keeping power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation's of the Lord. No man will, no man can. Except the Father. And he said it again in case someone didn't hear him. Verse 65. He says, I said unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now people, this just doesn't exclude anybody from coming because no one will. We're not trying to keep people away. We're not trying to tell people. But all we're trying to tell people is what God says, what Christ said. And if anybody comes, they're going to give Christ the glory for it. Everybody in heaven gives Christ all the glory for being there. All of it. Not the church, not the preacher, not the soul winner, not their will, not anything they've done, but Jesus Christ, all he's done. God, Spirit of God. Oh, we're going to read, you know, we can read Ephesians 1, Romans 9, we can read all of these. Oh, my. Here's election. Look at it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That implies, that expressly implies, clearly implies that God chose some people and gave them to Christ. This is all through the scriptures. Look at John 17. John 17. Many, if not most of you, know these verses well. Some do not. John 17. Look at verse 2. This is the prayer of our Lord to His Heavenly Father. This is the Lord's prayer here. Not the disciples' prayer He gave us to pray, our Father which is in heaven. This is the Lord's prayer. This is the great high priest's prayer before He goes into the Holy of Holies with His own precious blood. And here's what He says to the Father, verse 2. I hate to leave anything out. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to who? Those that let Him? Those that accept Him? Those that decide for Him? Those that of their free will choose Him? No, sir. To as many as Thou hast given Him. Very clear. Very clear. Look at verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were. Were? Yes. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Thine they were. And given, they were chosen by Thee and given to Christ. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. You say He's just praying. He's praying. He's talking about His 12 apostles. Yes, but not just them. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me. They are Thine. Look at verse across the page. Verse 20. In the same page, right across there. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. They're all given, they're all chosen by God, given to Christ in a covenant of grace before the world began. Romans 8 said, for whom He did foreknow. That's foreknow. That's enter into a union with, concerning, like Adam knew his wife Eve. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Predestinate to be conformed to the image of Christ. Predestinate to be His Son. Whom He did predestinate, He called by the gospel. That's the drawing power. We're going to look at that. Irresistible grace. He draws them. He calls them. And whom He calls, He justifies. What does that mean? He gives them faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's according to the working of His mighty power. You believe Him because He gives you that faith. You believe Christ because you can't help it. You didn't decide to do it, and you couldn't help it, so you can't lose it. It's a new nature. You believe on Him. And whom He justified, He glorified. Past tense. Romans 8, 29, 30 is past tense. Glorified. What does that mean? Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God knew His people before the foundation of the world. God already purposed it. He said, I've purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. I've spoken it. I'll do it. It was as good as done. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15, 18. It's going to happen. Well, you say, then what's the use in anything? Don't talk like that. We do, we preach because God said to, because Christ said to. A man must repent. A man must believe. A man must come to Christ. You must come to Christ by faith. You must believe Him. You must lay hold of Him. You must hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast to the end. You must confess Christ in believer's baptism. You must, or you won't be saved. But the fact of the matter is, if you do,
God did it.
Because he gets the glory. Particular redemption. They shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They've come to me for salvation. Because he came for them, he said. He came for them. And so they come to him. They were given to him. Particular redemption. He said that. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In the Old Testament, the high priest of old went into the Holy of Holies to offer up blood for whom? For whom? The world? No, sir. No, sir. He had 12 names on his breastplate and on his shoulders, which is typical of, a type of, a picture of, an emblem of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has his people on their heart and carries them on his shoulder, his people. His people, mine elect. He said, I know my sheep and have known of mine. I'm going to have you turn there. We're running out of time. If anybody would say so, we'd give it another 30 minutes. Sorry, John, we can't do it. But John 10, our Lord said, I know my sheep. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep, not the world, not goats, my sheep. And they're going to hear my voice, and they're going to come to me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, because he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He never lost a sheep. When it was all over, he said, those that thou hast given me, I have kept. I've lost none of them. Why? Because they're his sheep, and he's the good shepherd. That's who he came for. That's who he died for. That's who he sends the Holy Spirit for. And they will come. Irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. They shall come. They're drawn. They're drawn. As an old preacher once said years ago, he said, God's people come against their will with their full consent. Explain that, preacher. Well, I don't have to those who have come. Meaning that you would not have come. You would not have come. I would not be here, people. You're looking at the prodigal son. I denied this truth as a young hippie. I denied it. And I would not have come unless God had chosen me and drew me by his sovereign power. I would not be here today had he not drawn me. I wouldn't be here today if he didn't keep me here. You know that, so don't you? This world has such a power. Irresistible grace. They're drawn. All that the Father giveth me shall come. No man can come except the Father draws them. Drawn by irresistible grace and mercy and love. Like, I love the story of Ruth, don't you? Ruth and all the providence of God bringing that Moabite, that heathen woman, to meet her Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. God had brought her all the way, killed her husband, and brought her all the way from a heathen land into Bethlehem to meet a man who came out and saw her. She didn't see him, didn't know him. The type of Christ. And he looked upon her, and he gave directions and gave commandments concerning her. Told the young men, let fall handfuls on purpose for her. Bring her to my table tonight. And she did. She came. She didn't know Boaz. Boaz knew her, knew all about her. And he came where she was eating. I love this story. Don't you love this story? This is the story of Christ and his people. He came where she was eating, and it says he reached her some corn, some cornbread or something. And I believe he brushed up against her. And she smelled of him like Christ to the beloved, his cheeks as a bed of spices. And she smitten with him. He meant to do that. He's wooing her. He's drawing her. She's falling in love with him. It's one of these church signs, so-called church signs over here said, fall in love with Jesus. Urging us to fall in love with Jesus. It doesn't work that way. He comes to you because he loved you and he makes you fall in love with him. You can't just fall in love with someone, can you? You can't make your heart love someone. Oh, George Strait singing something. You can't make a heart love someone. But God can and must and does. He draws them. He woos them. It's irresistible grace. You know, we resist, we fight, but He's the Holy Spirit. He's all powerful. He is sovereign. If He says you're coming, you will come. Aren't you glad? Sinners are glad. Old Mephibosheth's glad that he was fetched. Perseverance or preservation. Or it's like Brother Crabtree combined it. Perseverance. The perseverance, it's not a word, but it is in our vocabulary. They are preserved by God and they persevere by God. They persevere. They will not fall away. They cannot fall away. Like old Jacob. The Lord came to Jacob, didn't He? And laid hold of Jacob. Or if He hadn't, Jacob was lost. And made all these promises to Jacob. What Jacob did? Jacob laid hold of him. The Lord came to Jacob with a purpose in mind. He's going to do it. He's going to bless him, call him, regenerate him, redeem him, lead him, guide him, direct him, keep him all his days in it. What did Jacob say? I will not let you go. That's perseverance. It's preservation. It's perseverance. Oh, no. Have not I chosen you? Well, I was actually going to give you two more points, the wonder and the glory of it, but that was the wonder and glory of it. The comfort of it. Here's the comfort of it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He doesn't say do this or do that. He said they'll do this, they'll do wonderful works, although we're predestined unto good works. God hath before ordained that we walk in them. But He doesn't say that for our comfort. God's people do works, but He doesn't say that for our comfort. He just says, shall come to me. He doesn't say, all that the Father giveth me shall never sin anymore. Oh, there is a new creature. There is a new man inside that's holy and unblameable, and he cannot sin. He cannot fall away. He will not. And a new nature that doesn't walk anymore like he used to, a new walk. But there's an old nature in it. And we do sin. He doesn't say that for our comfort. He doesn't say for our comfort, you'll quit your sinning. No, no, no. He says this one thing for our comfort, that shall come to me. Brethren, that's, I have. By God's grace, I have. And I do. And that seems like about all I can do. Do you? Did you? Have you? Come to Christ? What does it mean to come to Christ? It means to come to Christ. Many, as we say, come for blessings, come to church, come to an organization, come to a club, come to meet, you know, to a singles meeting, to meet a husband or get a wife. Some come to the preacher for advice, come for confirmation of whatever, come to the front, the altar, come to the baptismal pool. But He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They'll come to me. How do you come to the Lord? Brother Scott Richardson, oh my, he... an old coal miner that the Lord filled with His Spirit and gave him. He said, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. Don't come down here. Christ is not down here. This is not the altar. Christ is the altar. You don't come to Christ in body. Preacher, how do you come to Christ? Call. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call, it means... Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, teach me. Lord, show me. We come to Christ. We come to Him. Help me. Receive me, Lord. It's to come to Christ. It's to believe Him. Believe He's all you need. It's to come to Christ as a poor sinner in need of everything. It's to come to Christ as a guilty sinner. To come to Him for pardon, to come to Him for forgiveness. It's to come to Christ. We don't come to a priest. We don't come to a preacher. We come to Christ. We come to Christ, our great high priest. We come to Christ as a hungry person in need of food. He says, I'm the bread. I'll fulfill you. I'm the water, like that woman at the well. said, you've been coming to this well for years and you've been trying this and trying that. And I'm not telling you to try Jesus. I'm telling you all the Father giveth. They don't try and they come to Him. It's to come as a leper in need of cleansing. It's to come as a blind man in need of sight. It's to come as a deaf man. Lord, open my ears that I might hear the truth. It's to come as a hopeless person. Lord, I have no hope in myself. Christ is my hope. Have you come to Christ? It's to come as unrighteous. Lord, I'm not righteous. I'm unrighteous. I can't get to heaven by my works. Lord, would you let me be found in Christ having His righteousness? That's coming to Christ. And Him that cometh to me. It's good news. That's all I can do, people. That's all I can do is come to Christ. Even now, after all these years, I can't look back at anything I've ever done, any message I've ever preached, anything, not one thing, because everything I've ever done is filled with sin. But I can come to Christ by His grace, and do come to Christ. I come here today as a sinner in need of a Savior. He said, I will no wise cast out. And He said, I'll raise him up. This is the Father's will that has sent me, He said. That of all which He hath given me, I'd lose nothing, but raise them up at the last day. And He said, this is the Father's will that has sent me. That everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him or her up at that last day. Let me illustrate in closing. The Lord sent two men, Joshua sent two men to a decadent, sinful place called Jericho. He sent two men there. He's going to destroy that place. But He sent two men. Where did He send those two men? To whom did He send those two men with this message of salvation? To whom did Joshua purpose to say? He sent those two men to a harlot. A harlot's house. And they came into her house and they told her of Joshua's coming. Joshua's going to destroy this place. Created a fear of God in her. Well, that night when they laid down to sleep, it says that this woman, Rahab, came up where they were sleeping and said, I don't want to perish. I want to be saved by Joshua when he comes. She came to them. She came to those men. And they gave her a sure token. They gave her a promise from Joshua himself. They gave her a sign, a token, a scarlet line, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which all this scripture is about. The blood of the Lamb. They gave her a sure token. And they said to her, upon the word of Joshua, when we see that scarlet line, you're coming out. You're coming with us. We're going to spare you. You will not perish. We're taking you to the promised land. And lo and behold, one day, Joshua said, it's time. And he first sent those two men into Jericho to climb up that scarlet line, go in that house and say, Rahab, we're here for you. And whoever else was in that house, and brought her out and brought her to Joshua, her husband, her Lord. That's what this means. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, drawn. And him that cometh to me, Rahab was a harlot, but Joshua said, enter in with the rest of us sinners. I chose you. Is that your hope? To whom come in? To whom come? All right.